Hello, brothers and sisters, and welcome once again to Food for the Journey. I pray for you a lot. I ask that God would bless you, and I hope that you find these programs this week helpful to you and to your journey to the Lord, because one day we're going to see them all together, and we want to be ready together, and we never know when that time will come. And so let us not put things off. Let's turn to the Lord now, so that should we die, should there be an accident, should anything happen, we'll be ready. We'll be ready for the Lord. Today we celebrate the feast of St. Elizabeth of Portugal. And the opening prayer says this. I think it sums a lot. O God, author of peace and lover of charity, who adorned St. Elizabeth of Portugal with a marvelous grace for reconciling those in conflict. Aren't there times when we have conflicts? We don't know what to do. Let's ask St. Elizabeth of Portugal to inspire us, to help us. Grant through her intercession that we may become peacemakers and so be called the children of God. Oh, brothers and sisters, what a world it would be if we were all reconciled to one another. But we're not yet. So let us, in our own little circle, wherever we are, say, is there anything I can do to make this better? Could I pray more? Could I speak more? Could I offer something more? What could I do to help? And then pray, just pray. And when God wants you and needs you, he'll show you the way. Let's take a look now from the book of Genesis, chapter 28, verses 10 to 22a. Jacob departed from Beersheba and proceeded toward Haran. And when he came upon a certain shrine, as the sun had already set, he stopped there for the night. Taking one of the stones of the shrine, he put it under his head and lay down to sleep at that spot. And then he had a dream. A stairway rested on the ground with its top reaching to the heavens, and God's messengers were going up and down on it. And there was the Lord standing beside him and saying, I, the Lord, am the God of your forefather Abraham and the God of Isaac. The land on which you are lying I will give to you and your descendants. These shall be as plentiful as the dust of the earth, and through them you shall spread out east and west, north and south, and in you and your descendants all the nations of the earth shall find blessing. Listen to that. If we follow the Lord, know that I am with you. I will protect you wherever you go and bring you back to this land. I will never leave you until I have done what I promised you. When Jacob awoke from his sleep, he exclaimed, truly the Lord is in this spot, although I did not know it. In solemn wonder, he cried out, how awesome is this shrine? There is nothing else but an abode of God, and that is the gateway to heaven. Early the next morning, Jacob took the stone that he had put under his head, set it up as a memorial stone, and poured oil on the top of it. He called the site Bethel, whereas the former name of the town had been Luz. Jacob then made this vow, if God remains with me, to protect me on this journey I am making, and to give me enough bread to eat and clothing to wear, and I come back safe to my father's house, the Lord shall be my God. This stone that I have set up as a memorial stone shall be God's abode. Here's a man who is seeking the Lord. He believes in the Lord, but he's looking for signs. He's looking for help. We can always cry out to God and ask him, show me, Lord, the way. I remember one time asking the Lord for all kinds of things I needed. And I said, well, there, I've put them before you, Lord. And then I went out and I got in the car to go somewhere. And just this little thought came into my head. And I said, what did you say? And I just felt like the Lord just said, thank me. Just thank me. Thank me for what I am doing and thank me for what I will do for you. Thank me. So let us become more and more a people of gratitude for all the things that God has given us. Psalm 91, in you, my Lord, I place my trust. Where do you place your trust? Of course we can place our trust in some people, certain things, certain levels, but with God, you can entrust everything to him, everything. In you, my God, I place my trust. You who dwell in the shelter of the Most High, who abide in the shadow of the Almighty, say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God, in whom I trust. For he will rescue you from the snare of the fowler, from the destroying pestilence. With his pinions he will cover you, and under his wings you shall take refuge. Because he clings to me, I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he acknowledges my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in distress. Fear not. God is always here. God is with us. God cares. He knows more about you, I think, than you know about yourself. That's for me too. He knows us through and through. And when we're in difficulty or when we're in great rejoicing, both times, bring them to the Lord. Take time to thank the Lord for his goodness. Take time to petition the Lord for whatever it is that we might need, and trust him, and then keep praying. Don't just pray once. Keep praying every day that God will bless you. He will take care of you. He loves you. So let's take a look now at the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 9, verses 18 to 26. While Jesus was speaking, an official came forward, knelt down before him, and said, my daughter has just died. Can you imagine the pain at that point? But come, lay your hand on her, and she will live. Jesus rose and followed him, and so did his disciples. Now this is while they're on this journey. A woman suffering hemorrhages for 12 years came up behind him and touched the tassel on his cloak. She said to herself, if only I can touch his cloak, I shall be cured. Jesus turned around and saw her and said, courage, daughter, your faith has saved you. And from that hour, the woman was cured. Now they continue their journey. When Jesus arrived at the official's house and saw the flute players and the crowd who were making a commotion, he said, go away. The child is not dead, but sleeping. And they ridiculed him. When the crowd was put out, he came and took her by the hand. And the little girl arose. And news of this spread throughout all that land. Can you imagine? Can you imagine the woman being relieved of all the suffering that went with her hemorrhages? And then we find the child. You're being told the child is not dead. She's asleep. And you think, And that was true. Trust God. Trust him. The timing is his. Sometimes I've had to wait for a few weeks for an answer. But it's all right. I put my needs, my concerns, my fears, my hopes, my joys, all of them, into his hands, because he is the author of it all, of what he proposes to give us. Oh, brothers and sisters, he loves us so much. I want you to know him more and more and more. We need that, brothers and sisters. We need to increase our faith. There's a woman by the name of Elizabeth Lasser, who she was a French laywoman, whose atheist husband after reading her spiritual journey after her death, returned to the church, and later became a Dominican priest. Look at what you can do by living the life that God's asked of you, and to be willing to be patient with your husband, with your wife. Be willing to help. Be willing to say, Lord, give us the grace to kneel before you at the end of the day, not just to jump into bed though we're exhausted, but thank you, Lord, for being with us. Thank you for helping us. And we put into your hands whatever our concerns are for the next day. God hears all that. He knows that. Don't just say, oh, that's a lot of malarkey. It isn't. It's the truth. He loves you. And Elizabeth LeSueur wrote this, I'm going to take advantage of a rare peaceful day in my increasingly troubled and fragmented life to make a serious examination of conscience and meditation. First, I want to write a little in this journal. It will do me good, for I feel great spiritual isolation, humanly speaking, and a word of faith or of charity from human lips would warm my heart. It is God's will that I should walk the path of suffering. Do we say that? When suffering comes to us, small or big, it is God's will that I should walk the path of suffering that he has pointed out and that he has made quite rough for me lately. And yet, more than ever, he is close to me and supporting me. From a human point of view, no light is visible. Sadness in the present. Anxiety for the future. Future impediments in everything through my illness, the deprivation of all that could have transformed my life, good and fruitful work, reading, and this because of more immediate and humble duties, absence of the consolation that contact with people of intelligence, faith, and truly Christian love always brings. Physical discomfort, all these at present, make me dull and sad. Today, in recollection and humble prayer, I will seek the divine aid that I need so much. And since I believe in the communion of saints, I will ask God to apply to those I love and to others the fruit of this inaction. I must learn to use spare moments to write and work. I must not neglect my daily meditation, for this is so necessary to me, and I will do it when and however I can. Look at that prayer. She's not hiding anything. She's not trying to come to the Lord with just a big smile on her face. She's telling him what's difficult and what's so hard. And Jesus hears. Jesus hears, and he loves us, brothers and sisters. Sometimes he says no, but so often he says yes. May God abundantly care for you. Amen.
For a free copy of my booklet, Hope in the Midst of Suffering, please call our toll-free number 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to our website, renewalministries.net/FFJ. That's renewalministries.net/FFJ.